Hi, y'all. This is Kristen Chenoweth.
Hi, I'm Gloria Stefan.
This is Sarah Bareilles.
Hi, I'm Patti LuPone.
This is Lin-Manuel Miranda. You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Hi, John Schwab here, and welcome to the Curtain Call Podcast. Curtain Call is the podcast that takes you deep behind the scenes of the theater world, bringing you in-depth conversations with the story makers that are shaping the future of theater. We pull back the curtain to reveal the stories behind the stories and give you a glimpse into the backstage world like no other podcast can. This week, I'm chatting with writer, actor, and all-round theater maker Ben Willows. Earlier in the year, I was honored to be asked to judge the 2022 Durham Drama Festival at Durham University in the UK. Incredible 3 days. Talks, workshops, networking events, but most importantly, new theater written, directed, and performed by the incredible talent pool of students at Durham Uni. In our last episode, we chatted to the makers of Beautiful Nothing, and another of Durham Drama Festival's standout successes was Cottage, which took home a number of awards, including Best Play. Cottage is a gripping comic drama that has so many themes bubbling underneath the facade of two men meeting up in a public toilet. It goes way beyond that, way beyond a queer story, and it commands the audience's attention and asks questions of the viewer's thoughts into human relationships and their deeply complicated makeup, no matter what sexual preference one might have. Cottage's playwright Ben Willows sat down with me in separate rooms, of course, because he's already in Edinburgh performing in a show, to talk about where the idea came for Cottage and its journey so far. Have a listen. Ben, it's really good to see you, man.
Really good to see you too.
It's been a while. So this is kind of the second. I've got three interviews I've done, people that were involved with the Durham Drama Festival who are, and also going up to the Fringe. It's great to have you on here. And just chatted with Bav and Em for their Beautiful Nothing, which is great. And I thought I've got to get Ben on here as well because I just love those two plays. I honestly didn't think when I was going to a drama festival, and watching students, I forget how accomplished we are. And when we're that young, I'm approaching 50. So when I see 20-year-olds, I go, oh, they're so young. That's like, and naive. No, it's not the case. And I was blown away by the plays at Durham Drama Festival. You closed out the festival with Cottage.
I did. Yeah.
It got insane reviews because it was insanely good and it won all kinds of awards. But we'll get to that in a minute. Yeah. So Ben Willows, I'm talking with Ben Willows, a writer of Cottage, and he's currently up at the Fringe, in another play, and we can talk about that in a second. But you are taking Cottage, you and the team are taking Cottage to perform there later this month. What I'd like you to do is just give me an origin story of why Cottage and what made you want to tell the story, and give us a bit of background about what it is as well, so people know what we're talking about.
Absolutely. So I went and studied English at Durham. But in my first year, I didn't like a lot of the modules that were on offer for English. So I wanted to do something a bit different. And in a fit of, I think it was probably madness, I ended up choosing a criminology module. which I didn't really engage with that much. It wasn't very well taught, in my opinion. But there was one book that we did study that really grabbed me, and it was called Tea Room Trade by Lord Humphreys. And it was a criminological and a sociological study into cottaging. This was in America in the 50s, this book, but obviously it's a very British thing as well. Cottaging is British slang. And I'd known about it before. I'd, you know, heard rumors of actors and celebrities who'd been caught cottaging, but I hadn't really thought about it that much. And I read this book and it was very engaging, actually, for a sociological text. And I ended up thinking about, oh, well, there's you know, the tension here of two people who've never met, who are in this intensely, you know, intimate but dangerous setting. And I thought, wow, that's a really good play. There's, you know, the startings of a play there.
Yeah.
And yeah, one day I just started writing it and it flowed. It really did flow. The environment and the two characters, the way they have to interact with, you know, initially very terse, quick sentences, it just spilled out of me. It was a joy to write. And then, yeah, sent it into the Durham Drama Festival, did very well. And I have an amazing team, an incredible cast. But yeah, so the synopsis of the play is basically two men walk into these toilets looking for sex.
Yeah.
But the play goes into, is it what they actually want?
Yeah. I think, you know, about any, I think any story that is so on top, what you know, the what you've just described is so on the top level of what the play is about. It's much more, I mean, two guys walking into the toilet looking for sex is the context, but this play is not about that. It's about so much more.
Oh, it is, but in a way, I'm someone who's quite bad at pitching shows because I want people to go in blind.
Yeah.
And if I go and see a show, I never read reviews. I barely read a synopsis. I want to be surprised. And that's the joyous thing about new writing, and I would argue especially student writing, is you have no clue what's going to happen.
Yeah.
It might be one of the worst things you've ever seen in your life, but even that will still surprise you. Or it might be something that just hits you around the head and you're like, wow, that's brilliant. Beautiful Nothing for me was that. That was brilliant.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of, I'm forgetting the name of the play where the actor wakes up on stage in an apocalypse and it's, you know, if an actor doesn't have an audience, what is their, you know, is he still an actor? That kind of existential and metaphysical questions that we put out there. But I mean, I just thought, you know, every one of the pieces I saw had merit. And I love the fact that there was no walls keeping boundaries of the playwright's imaginations and the productions and what you did for the amount you had. And did that give you the, did the Durham Drama Festival give you the scope to kind of develop it? Has it changed much since those first days that when it kind of poured out of you the script, or do you think you've locked in a really tight, because it is a great tight piece. It's under an hour, isn't it? It's like a lovely one act, you know, but a proper story. But did it develop much?
I edited it and I tinkered it after finishing it because I finished it before the applications opened for the festival. But then for the festival, it was locked in. That was it. That was the thing. Since then, going on from feedback from you guys on the panel, from reviews, and also to make it a bit longer, so it's now 50 minutes, like solid 50 minutes, I have added more in, and I've especially fleshed out, again, I don't want to go too far in, but it's
I know what you're about to say, and I'm kind of happy you didn't, because you know, you do want to see this. You know, there are twists and turns, and it is a thrilling play. And if you say too much about characters, then it becomes expected, and you don't want it to be. So I get what you're saying. So there, you fleshed out characters. You've looked at everything.
Yeah.
Okay. Cool. And so did you always? I'm just going through the technical stuff here because I'd love to talk to you about the Fringe experience. But did you always envisage this going to Fringe? I know that when we met in February, and this is long, I just think it was already February. It felt like last week, Ben.
Yeah.
You know, isn't that crazy? would, you know, did you always have an eye on the Fringe? Because we loved it. We loved the play. The panel loved the play. The audience loved the play. Mm-hmm. And I was just hoping, I'd love to see it in London. I really would love to see it in London. It's a perfect, you know, it's a perfect play for a small venue for people to come in and almost, you know, if you keep it at 50 minutes, you know, it's a lunchtime play, or a part of one act festivals down here. But yeah. I mean, I could watch those characters for a good another half an hour and not feel bloated because I was fascinated with the characters. I wanted more. But was the Fringe the next logical step, Ben? That's my kind of question.
In retrospect, it was. At the time, I hadn't really dreamt about it because Fringe, I have dreamt about coming to Fringe for, I would say, about a decade now.
And it's your first one, isn't it?
It's my first one, yeah.
Oh, because, my God, yeah.
So my school, like a few years above me, there was like this group of A-level students were just amazing at drama, and they went up to Fringe. And so in my head, I was like, well, that'll be me in a few years. No luck. I didn't get to do it. And then I came to uni. I was like, well, this is it. University. This, you know, I'll get into a student-written play. I'll go to Fringe. COVID.
Yeah.
So this has really been my first opportunity. And so when I was writing Cottage, I think I didn't really dare to dream. I was like, okay, well, this is Durham now. And I think like there's the risk of just sometimes thinking only in your box.
Yes, I get it.
Yeah, and I think if I hadn't had the support from obviously the judges and the viewers, but especially my team, then I don't know. It would have been a tough push to do. So, yeah, but with the team behind me, I'm so, so glad it's come to Fringe. And, yeah, I would love to take it further. I think I need to see it again. I need to see how the guys have settled into it to see if I can even expand it more. Because I don't want to make it bloated. That's the thing. Because it works being short and snappy. But, yeah, if I can add more, I would love to. Because, yeah,
It's a great play, and I think that you know, in the more liberal of states in America and you know theaters around, it's a great play to do. Students, this is a great piece of theater for anyone to take on because it is a limited cast. It is, you know, it's not, you don't have to have a massive set. What it is in the writing, but the performances were incredible in this, and I know they are. The thing is, I was astonished that Ben, you wrote a freaking amazing play that you're not in because you're also a fucking good actor. Like, so literally.
Well, I mean, I was in Cottage for a night because Ben Lewis had COVID the opening night of Durham Drama Festival. So I learned his lines in a week and went on that night, which was an experience. it was at that point in my life, that was really the second proper play that I'd written. And I was still sort of developing my acting and my writing separately. And something that I fervently believe in for all art, but I would say especially theatre, is that collaboration makes it better.
Yeah, I'm 100%.
Yeah, and I'm so, I take pride in the fact that I'm quite healthy in just giving a director, giving a prod team a script and saying, like, you go with it.
Yeah.
I'll be here for help. I will come to rehearsals, help out. But, like, this is ours now. This isn't just mine. And like I always say to the actors, if something isn't working, if it doesn't sound right, if it sounds like paper, then say, because, you know, I'm just typing things out. It might not sound right. But then acting in Cottage that one night was an incredible experience. So my last play at Durham was a one-man show that I wrote and was in. And it was, it was amazing.
That's so cool.
But there's a danger in it, I think. You don't want to... I don't know. I want my writing to be beyond me in a way, and my acting as well. And I feel like I was so careful doing By Panic, my one man show, that it wasn't like, it's the Ben Willow show. Like, no, it was a separate entity. It was a separate character, separate play from me.
Yeah.
And I think it helps having that divide of actors doing your writing.
Yeah.
But no, I would. I either of those roles in Cottage, I would love to play.
I'm Victoria Cash. Thanks for calling the Lucky Land Hotline. If you feel like you do the same thing every day, press 1. If you're ready to have some serious fun for the chance to redeem some serious prizes, press 2.
We heard you loud and clear. So go to LuckyLandSlots.com right now and play over 100 social casino-style games for free. Get lucky today at LuckyLandSlots.com.
Available to players in the U.S., excluding Washington and Michigan. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey, everyone. This is Salisha Thomas from Black Hair in the Big Leagues, part of the Broadway Podcast Network. Welcome back to the Curtain Call Podcast.
Are you kind of confident that the play is going to play even better when that venue gets a little bit smaller and brings people into those toilets on Hampstead Heath?
Because I think with the assembly rooms, it's a lovely. I performed in there so many times.
I know.
It can be intimidating. It's it's pretty big, and the stage itself is really deep. We brought it up a bit for Cottage, but yeah, it's really deep. Yeah. I think because of how intensely intimate the play is, by virtue of the characters, by virtue of the context, I think that it will really help being a smaller space. And the space is where I'm performing right now. It's the same space.
Oh, great. Oh, so fantastic. You know,
it's so lovely. I've really liked getting to it. And it's only about 40, 50 people.
Yeah.
And yet you don't have to worry about projection. And because of that, sometimes you can just let it flow, let the naturalism flow. You don't have to worry about reaching the people back in row M, you know?
Yeah.
You can just focus intensely on your scene partner and people will be hanging on your every word.
And I love it. And I could see that the two actors you had were Ben Lewis, Stephen Ledger.
Yes.
And they playing one and two. Yeah. And they there were moments you felt that they wanted to draw it in but had to give a little bit more. They had to project to be quiet. But and I think that they Stephen Ledger has a stillness that's really hard to do on stage. And it's great to see him have that. And Ben is phenomenal because he's going maybe in about 85 different directions at the same time, you know, in this character who just who wants to be there but doesn't want to be there, can't be seen but needs to be. I mean, it's there's so much of that energy. They played so well. I mean, how lucky you, Ben, to have them back again to do this.
It is absolutely incredible. And it was sort of a punt, really, because I knew Stephen a bit when we cast him. I didn't know Ben Lewis at all.
Right.
And to have such talented actors who have such an incredible chemistry and dynamic as well. And they have developed that so much more since the play. They've become very good friends. They've done more plays and they've done a run of Cottage in the Durham Fringe, which I didn't get to see, but was really good. And that was in a smaller theatre as well. So it allowed them to do more.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, both of them are brilliant. Stephen, I did History Boys with Stephen, and so I was playing Hector and he was playing Posner, and there's a scene just before the interval where it's just the two of them and so still throughout the entire, both of us. And it was one of the most magical moments I've had on stage every night. It was such a beautiful scene. And he was such a generous and listening scene partner, which is something so difficult. You often find people who, you know, they're looking at you, but their eyes are glazed over and they're thinking of the next line or they're thinking,
you're waiting to talk.
Yeah, they're waiting to talk. And Stephen is not that. He's waiting to respond. And Ben Lewis, he has such a force behind him, but also such a softness as well.
Yeah.
And that's what's included in that character as well. Because as you said, it's a character of conflict. So many things going on in his mind, so many different. He's jittery.
Yeah.
Ben just does it so well and so truthfully.
Yeah. I'd love to see them in it. I was meant to go to the showcase
You guys came in,
and we had COVID in the family. And I was like, it's just so annoying because I felt like I was part of something special. I know it makes it about me, but I felt like personally, I felt like I was part of something special at that drama festival, the Durham Drama Festival, because there was so much great talent on show that I was just like, took me back to my days when I'm watching Kate Graham in the West End and loads of people that I've worked with, you know, Fred Perry owns the Chiswick Playhouse, you know, all these people, this would play brilliantly in the Chiswick Playhouse, by the way. Fred, if you're listening, book these guys. But there are so many of our group have gone out there and done it. And I saw the same energy in your group. And it gave me chill bumps, like walking into the assembly room and going, I remember this 30 years ago. I remember just going, this is where I belong.
Durham is amazing. Like it wasn't, I dreamed of going to drama school straight after school. Yeah. Didn't work out. And then I went on a year out and I dreamed of going to drama school again. Yeah. Didn't work out. But I chose Durham principally because of the acting scene.
Yeah.
I liked the English course. I liked the vibes of the city. But yeah, I went for the theatre and it's incredible. It is a playground. So many things go on at the same time and incredible people who boost each other up as well, which I think is rare in a lot of student theatre scenes. People are, bitching about other shows, stuff like that. Yeah. But no, in this, it's so
amazing. Yeah, it's and that was our public service announcement for the Durham Drama Scene. So, Ben, try to keep this short and sweet. Sure. I would, what I would like to ask you two last questions. The first being, as we said before, this show isn't about guys looking for sex. This is so much more than that. When people come in to see this, expectations are not. What would you like people to kind of get from Cottage? What would you like them to take away as audience members who've experienced this short, powerful, gut punch of a piece?
I think I would want them to come away with an appreciation for the connections they have, because that's ultimately what these two men are searching for, and what they don't have is connections with other people. And maybe they get it in the end, maybe they don't. You'll have to come and see and also decide for yourself whether they get it. But that was the driving impulse, the driving thought throughout my head was the connections that humans want to make with each other. So yeah, I want audiences to come away thinking of that.
Yeah, that's a great, great answer. And I think that's what it ultimately does. It asked me to kind of search myself and kind of empathize with someone that I have no experience of, cottaging or talking to anyone about it. Or, honestly, in the 80s and 90s, it was a joke. Right. And it literally was mean, but, and then what I found fascinating was getting underneath the story of two guys going to toilet for sex. That is not what's going on. Like you just talked about the connections. So I was absolutely blown away. And I think we all were. And congratulations on the success you had at the Drama Fest. A lot of awards were won that evening. and well done. Lastly, Ben, where can people come and see you? Will you be there? Can people come up and talk to you afterwards and anything else? Just let me know and everyone listening know how they can get to you and where they can see it and all those other lovely things.
Absolutely. So we are going to be at Greenside. It's in the Olive Studios on Infirmary Street. It is on from the 22nd to the 27th of August and it's on at 10 past 10. I will be there. I won't be there on the very last night, but other than that, I will be there. I will be up for a drink. I'll be up for a chat. Also, if you're up at the Fringe now, can I do a quick shout out to the show I'm in?
Yes, of course you can, man.
Thank you.
Go out later this week. So absolutely.
Oh, perfect. Well, we are here until the 13th and we're on at 3:10. It's called Death of a Disco Dancer and it's in that same space on Infirmary Street. It's got similar themes to Disco Dance to Cottage. Sorry, it's queer. It's about people longing for connection, but it's also got a lot of disco, and it's like a bad hallucinatory trip.
But hallucinatory trip doesn't have to be bad. Bad for the characters.
Oh, it doesn't have to be bad. I think this one probably edges towards bad.
Ben, listen, congratulations, and I'm glad it's up at the Fringe. I really do want to see. I want to see Cottage down in London. I think it's a very important piece. I think the historic themes that are explored and it doesn't matter who is in a play, what characters in a play. It's the writing that really is, if somebody can connect with writing, if you can get people to examine themselves and empathize with characters and their situations, then it's a winner. And I think you really have a winner, man. You really do, Ben. I'm super, super, super excited about the journey that it's going to take.
Thank you so much.
And they'll be performing Cottage in 20 years, from now. They will be. I 100% put it out there. We'll go back and listen when I'm 70 years old. We'll go back. Remember when I said that?
Remember. Well, I mean, if it is, then you'll be one of the very first people to have supported it. Both on the panel with your feedback, which was lovely. And you gave a very good note, actually, a medical note, which has made its way into the script. And thank you for this podcast and reaching out. And it's just
great stuff, man. Great. Listen, I would love to be up there and watch. Unfortunately, as I said to Bab, I would have gone this year. 100% would have gone this year. We are off on a family holiday, and going back home to Florida and New Orleans, a bit of music, and stuff like that. So, but the boys are going to see their grandparents for the first time in 3.5 years, and it was the only opportunity we had. So.
That almost makes up for missing cottage. I know. I might be able to forgive.
That's what Bab said. We might be able to do it. But listen, do go and see Bab, and I'm sure Bab's going to be up there seeing you. And all the best with it, Ben.
Thank you so much, John. Appreciate it.
Ben Willows there, writer of Cottage, which is playing at this year's Edinburgh Fringe Festival. I'll tell you how to get tickets in just a second. But first, I'd like to thank you for listening. And just a quick reminder to say that if you like this show, or indeed any of our episodes of Curtain Call Podcast, please go to whichever streaming platform you use and leave a rating and review. It helps others to find this, others like you that may like these kind of podcasts. And make sure to follow the podcast as well. It really does help. If you want to reach out to us, you can find us on all the socials at Curtain Call. That's all one word. You can find me personally at John Schwab, JohnSchwab. Lastly, I'd like to extend a huge thank you to Ben Willows. All the best, Ben, for your run of Cottage. You can catch him just for the rest of the week in Death of a Disco Dancer at Greenside until the 13th of August. You can also catch Cottage at the same venue from the 22nd to the 27th of August. Get your tickets at edfringe.com. Thank you for listening. Speak soon and stay safe. Bye.
Hey, it's Leslie Odom Jr. here on the Broadway Podcast Network to tell you about the RISE Theater Directory, a program of Maestro Music. RISE is a national online resource designed to connect and empower backstage and administrative and creative theater professionals from underrepresented backgrounds. If you work or aspire to work in the theater community, this can help you find your next project. And if you hire theater professionals, search the RISE Theater Directory to find your next team. Create your profile now and get more information by visiting risetheater.org. That's theater with an RISETHEATRE.org. Because only together we rise.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
Laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.